Welcome to Mine Mind, My Voice, stories of people from around the world. See yourself in our stories.
We acknowledge the Ngunnawal and Ngambri people as the traditional custodians on the land on which we meet and pay our respect to their elders past, present, and emerging. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. We extend this respect to the First Nations people around the world.
Hi, my name is Roberta, and I'm an immigrant from Italy. I've been in Australia for quite a few years and live here with my husband and children, who are the second generation Italians. I'm here as part of an amazing initiative called My Mind, My Voice, which opens conversations around mental health and hopes to address the stigma of mental illness within culturally and linguistically diverse communities. MEAC stands for Mental Illness Education of the ACT, an organisation that has been in the ACT since 1993, and it really empowers people both with an experience of mental illness and also empowers young people and the community sector around destigmatising mental illness and also to seek help around their journey with mental illness. We will be hearing stories from coal communities that are talking about all kinds of mental health topics. Through this sharing of stories and lived experiences, we hope to empower coal communities to actively pursue greater well-being and mental wellness. Fumita, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You're here today to just answer some questions, so thank you for coming. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, as you know, my name is Fumita. I'm a second generation migrant in Australia. I live with complex PTSD, so post-traumatic stress disorder and anxiety. I'm also very passionate about a range of social issues, including domestic violence, sexual violence, social and cultural disadvantage, and mental health. I am also a survivor of all of these, and I want to help people who go through these experiences.
That's great, Fumita. And I imagine a lot of these life experiences are going to come out through your story. Now, as we go through this podcast, we will be trying to use a MEAC framework called Do No Harm. And this allows us to create a safe space to talk about mental health in a supportive, nurturing and respectful environment. It utilises six principles to guide and facilitate the way we talk about mental health. I will quickly go through the six principles. The first principle is context and purpose. Context is very much about surroundings and circumstances. It's about the environment and the setting, while the purpose is really looking at who our audience is, who are we targeting, what is our aim and what is our goal. What messages are we trying to get across? How did you manage to use that principle, context and purpose, assist you and help you?
I wanted to show people that it's not end of the world. I'm not completely lost in the darkness, that you are able to come out the other end and you come out stronger. And it's also to reduce stigma around these issues like domestic violence and mental health, to have more dialogues around these issues and its causes. And I also, you know, growing up as a second generation migrant, I always experienced this enormous difficulty having those communications with my parents who were first generation migrant. And I guess when you have that gap, then you kind of feel forced to look for those relationships somewhere else, and maybe, you know, the experiences that I've had in my life could have been avoided, or the outcome would have been different if those relationships were nurtured inside your home. So I felt like my family, my parents left everything behind and came to a great country and giving us this, you know, opportunity, opening up our world, but then I'm not able to really live up to their expectations as a Bangladeshi girl and also acing everything outside of the Bangladeshi community, you know, going to school and, you know, becoming a doctor or engineer, because that's the expectation that's set on you and you always carry that guilt with you. So there's a massive lack of understanding there. And then not having that safe space, as you say, for your children, and not enough dialogues and understanding around the sensitive topics. All of that I wanted to kind of share through my story, and that is basically my purpose and context.
Our second principle is recovery emphasis. And this is really important because recovery is a key part of addressing negative stigma. Very much focus on the hope of working through the mental illness and working through our journey, the consequences of our journey. It doesn't exclude the hardships, and it really include where and how we got help, or the people telling these stories got help. Tell us a little bit about how you saw it when writing your story and how you still see it as part of maybe your life today.
Recovery is extremely important in your story. When I first did my draft story, I didn't have much emphasis in this area, but I understand how crucial it is to create hope for people that even if you are gone through this extremely difficult journey, that you will come out the other end stronger. It's sharing how to live with mental illnesses and the consequences of my experience or experience of others.
The third principle is safe talking. We're really looking at avoiding any kind of talk that may encourage the listener to copy behaviour and to be really aware that the words and concepts that we might be using could trigger not only the storyteller, but the person listening to the story. Can you explain what that means to you? What does safe talking mean to you?
You're not using words or details of your experience that could be triggering to yourself while you're sharing your stories or triggering to anyone in the audience. And then using language that is broad and neutral. You're not diagnosing anyone or going through step by step of what your experience was that could be triggering. So avoiding those things.
The next principle, limits to helping. It's around setting boundaries for yourself. And, you know, we're in a society that always wants to help other people, but it's around giving space to the person who might be experiencing mental illness or mental health concerns, self-awareness, that we're not there to give advice, but we're there to hopefully open some doors by giving certain types of information. Did you find that difficult to limit yourself?
Yeah, that's an element I still struggle with. So it's remembering that self-preservation is very important and staying objective, keeping in mind that when you're sharing your story, that we're there to share our story and not to diagnose somebody else's situation or condition. This is something that I have to consciously remind myself.
The next principle, respectful and inclusive language. We try really hard when within any language or conversations that we have that we stay very respectful and we remain very inclusive. And it's especially important when you're talking to people from cold communities who might already feel a little bit isolated. So language plays a crucial part in creating stereotypes and myths and stigma. And when you're looking at mental health and then you're looking at cold communities, all those things are so important. The use of respectful and inclusive language means not being judgmental, and there's a real emphasis on recovery. How do you focus on that inclusive and respectful?
Basically, writing my story from my personal experience. It's my journey, my experience. If you're saying it from your own perspective, making sure that I'm not using any language that may, you know, trigger myself or others, which is very important.
And finally, self-care, a very important principle and a very important principle just in general in life. But that whole concept of looking after yourself and looking after yourself as something that you have a right to, not something that you earn. That even if you've had a day where you might feel you've achieved nothing, you still have a right to self-care at the end of that day. When you're sharing stories, it is very emotionally demanding, and being able to monitor yourself, knowing what your limits are, and at the end of the day that you need to look after yourself, and that might mean that sometimes you need to step away and do some self-care. Talk to us a little bit about your self-care.
My self-care evolved and changed over time, and it continues to change because it depends on where I'm at, mentally and emotionally. One of my go-to self-care is listening to audiobooks while I'm driving. It just helps me calm down. Also feel like I'm learning. I love reading about other people and what they've done with their lives. And yeah, and that I find comfort in that. Having a wholesome conversation with my support system, I find really helpful. Then also remembering to setting boundaries for yourself.
I think, you know, that whole boundary stuff, it's really important for all of us just to be able to stay within quite healthy mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing all of that. Pamita, it's amazing. We know that you're a volunteer educator at MEAC. How did you become a VE as they know them?
I always wanted to help people through sharing of my stories and experiences. And then through social media, I saw this post about this opportunity to become a mental health educator. And when I read the descriptions, I just felt like it was my calling. Then I did some training, Do No Harm and Story Crafting with MEACT, and absolutely loved it. Love what MEACT does for the community and the role of a volunteer educator. And I've been with MEACT since beginning of last year, and enjoying it very much.
Do you want to just give us a little bit of a snippet about what your story is?
Mm-hmm. I experienced sexual violence on multiple occasions throughout my childhood. I was also married at a very young age and experienced domestic violence in various forms through my marriage. I experienced how helpless someone can be when they are going through their toughest and darkest times in their lives. I have experienced how perpetrators of violence and abuse can and are empowered because of the stigmas and biases of the society. And I experienced the lack of knowledge people have with these critical issues and often don't understand the complex relationships between different issues such as domestic violence, sexual abuse, and mental illnesses. And often going through these experiences, when you're going through such a difficult time, the last thing that everyone thinks about is their mental health. At one point, I was experiencing panic attacks multiple times a day, but I didn't know what it was. I was unable to leave my bed for weeks and wouldn't leave my room. I was then prescribed medication by my GP for my depression, and it basically changed my life. In the last few years, I have started seeing a therapist and have been formally diagnosed with complex PTSD and severe anxiety. You know, I have learnt a lot through my experiences. I developed a lot of resilience through the years, and so I want to share my story, not only for my own healing, but to connect to others who may be experiencing such issues.
Thank you for that, Pamita. And can I say, I feel very privileged. Thank you very much for being here and telling that and being brave to tell that. Do you want to just give us a little bit about what PTSD is, like post-traumatic stress And what is the difference when it's complex? What does that mean?
The experiences that I've actually gone through in my life and the complexities of those experiences, the trauma and sufferings keeps a long-lasting effect somewhere in your brain. And without having it treated properly, it can come back at any time. I didn't even know that, you know, I had these hidden emotions and these experiences that I've suffered were somewhere in there in my brain. But every now and then it does creep up. The world just becomes too much to handle. But, you know, getting help and having a platform like this, you know, through MEACT, it's very empowering. So it's also really good for my mental health. I've been, able to live with it in a more meaningful and healthy way.
Thank you. Myself, coming to Australia as an immigrant, I know how difficult it is to talk about mental health within a lot of communities. Can you tell us a little bit about what you think might be some of the challenges that they're experiencing when looking at mental health?
The first thing that comes to mind is fear. So that's one of the main challenges that people face. I guess it's fear of losing face and reputation within the family and the society. Sometimes when it comes to domestic violence or sexual abuse, there's that legal implications that people might be afraid of. The fear of being alienated or judged by your community. And then a lot of the times, these communities are quite patriarchal and the conversations are dominated by that. So someone like me or somebody who's recently migrated overseas, a female of colour, they're just not comfortable talking about these kind of conversations. There's lack of information and awareness out there. It's a real shame culture. So there's a lot of victim shaming and blaming. And even the person who's experiencing these issues, they blame themselves as well. And there's just not enough importance put on mental health. People tend to just brush it off. And then there's avoidance of conflict and uncomfortable situations. So people care more about maintaining relationships rather than facilitating meaningful discussions and keeping a facade that there's no issues in their lives or lives of others.
Also in the coal communities, you know, there's already so much isolation. We've come from overseas. Many of us have left all our families behind or might just have our immediate family. And there is that sort of, like you said, that shame, that feeling guilty that you've been given the opportunity to come here. And, you know, that victim blaming, that what have you got to be sorry about? And, you know, why are you, you know, because it is mental health seen as why are you so sad?
Yeah.
You know, you should be happy. But also there's that whole safety side of it as well. So like you said, that lack of knowledge and lack of understanding, and which then creates that lack of safety as well. How do I go about finding the help that I might need or our family might need?
And even when someone is brave enough to ask for help, the feedback they get, it's so negative that people are just afraid to say anything.
Yeah. And, you know, mental health in many of our communities is still seen, it's still very much a taboo, so it is really, really hard. You mentioned stigma, and I suppose, you know, when we're talking about mental health or when we're talking about violence and, you know, whether it's domestic or other type of violence, Australia sees violence and it's quite stigmatised. In a lot of cultures, domestic violence is a normal thing and it's not seen stigmatised. How were you able to talk about that and still remain respectful within your own culture and the Australian culture?
I guess, you know, when you're talking about domestic violence, there's a lack, enormous lack in awareness and education, not just in the cult community, but even in, you know, our community here, our local community. And people often think that only physical violence is violence, but there's so many different elements to it, you know, emotional, psychological, financial, all of these things that people go through. And I wanted to highlight those through my stories and, you know, show that it's not shameful to go through that, that no one has to live with violence, you know, and violence is never acceptable. And when you love and respect yourself, you deserve, everyone deserves to be who they are and live a respectful life for themselves. And that's what I wanted to share through my story.
Now, just before we finalize everything today, before we end today, how do you keep going when you can't even think about getting out of bed and self-care is way far off for you? How do you keep yourself going?
What helps me in those situations is giving myself permission to feel and think about what I'm experiencing, my emotions, the trauma, letting myself, you know, unpack or just be where I am, if I have the capacity to do that, because I know I'm very lucky I have that space to feel those emotions. A lot of people don't, because they might have children to take care of or jobs to go to. Even though, you know, I do work full time, but I am able to take time off and reflect on those, not overcommitting myself and just be with myself or do what will help me get out of that situation rather than rushing to get back into reality as soon as I can, which will just extend the process. There's a saying that don't commit to a marathon when you have broken your leg, you know, so it's like that, but with your mind.
Listening to you today, I think often we don't give ourselves enough permission to do things, and I hope that all of our listeners will reflect on this, and I'm really looking forward to listening to your story. So thank you very much, and see you soon, Femina.
Thank you. Thank you, Roberta and MEACT, for this amazing opportunity and giving me a chance to share my experience.
And hopefully we'll be able to give a voice to as many people from linguistically and culturally diverse backgrounds.
And I'm excited to hear everyone's story.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you or yourself are dealing with a mental health concern and would like some support, please remember to call Lifeline on 13 11 14. If you are needing interpreting or translating services, please call 131 450, say your language, then say Lifeline 13 11 14, wait for a connection, and you'll be connected to somebody who can support you. If it is an emergency, please remember to call 000, and once again, if you require interpreting or translating services, please just say interpreter when connecting. All of this information and more on help services and resources within the ACT can be found on MEACT's website. That's meact.org.au.